Hey teachers, and welcome to Tech It Up a Notch. I'm Rach, your curriculum guide, here to help you connect tech to powerful learning.
And I'm Claire, your tech guru, ready to demystify the digital world for your classroom.
Tech It Up a Notch.
Well, Claire, we're up to episode 7. Very exciting.
And season 2. We're here at the Bella Vista Hotel Podcast Studio, which is free and awesome. We're enjoying it. Yes. Vibe outside.
It is. It's a bit of a party vibe. We think the DJ's set up, if anyone's been here before. Someone out there playing some tunes.
Yes, so nice.
Times on a Saturday afternoon.
What tool are we featuring today, right?
Oh, well, today's listener question might give you a clue.
Yes, so this comes from Tracy.
I'm looking for a way that students can make digital artworks without fancy software. Just wondering if you have any ideas.
The first thing that comes to mind for me is Google Drawing. What do you think?
I haven't really used Google Draw beyond the occasional quick diagram that I need to insert into a Google Doc or something. So
right.
I will be excited to see how you have been learning with this.
Oh, I could go on and on, but I love Google Drawing. It's a thinking and communication tool that helps students visualize, organize, and represent their learning. So it is an application in Google Workspace. It is on its own. However, it is also found within Google Docs as the drawing tool.
Yes.
So when you want to create a drawing in Google Docs, it takes you to a separate Google Drawing.
Yep.
But all your Google Drawings are saved on your Google Drive as well. So to access it, there's a website. It's like on a web browser, drawings.google.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can access it through your Google Drive. So you just go to New, More, then Google Drawings. You have to scroll down a little bit. You see all the other great Google tools there. Or you can use it within Docs, or actually it's already embedded into
the
slides and also vids now as well. And actually, I noticed when I was trying to go on my iPad, it doesn't work on the iPad.
No, not so much.
So if you've got Chromebooks or MacBooks or other devices in your classroom, you can definitely use it for that. Basically, you've got your canvas. You can set it up to change the canvas size for a particular project, like if you want a tall infographic or a poster. And drawings sort of are a layer in the space, so you can use all different shapes, arrows. You can use text. You can use gradient colors. You can bring things forward and sit them on top and arrange the order of them to manage how they overlap. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy. You can just export it, download it,
mm-hmm.
and share it. You can share it with your teacher or share it collaboratively. You have people mm-hmm. on the drawing as well. It just sits in Google Docs, but unlike slides, like we were just saying, where it's already part of, you don't have to go to the external.
Yeah,
which I wish it was in Docs, like it is a little annoying. But yes, but it's free.
Well, and
it's,
next time you're at a Google event,
I'll put it on my post-it note.
Yes. And send it in.
Well, now it's on an app, did you notice?
I did. Yeah.
But yes, it's honestly one of the most underutilized tools. A lot of people don't realize that it's there in Google mm-hmm. Workspace. And the amazing thing is the potential of it. Mm-hmm. And if you Google drawing lessons, or if you search on Gemini, for instance, the ideas that come up are phenomenal. And there are a lot of really awesome YouTube videos of people that have created amazing things mm-hmm. with it. So I'd love to share loads I've done it.
I'm excited to see, because when we first flagged doing this one and, you know, making some notes and thinking about curriculum, I was busy thinking about, you know, annotating diagrams and showing maths learning. I was like, you know, some really good stuff you can do with tessellating and things like that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My brain really went in that direction and I didn't consider art at all.
Well, I've known about it for a long time, but I was very inspired to use it as a teaching tool when our good friend Tracy presented off a couple of years ago at EduTech.
An excellent EdTech leader.
Yes. And I was going along to support her, and her presentation was all about Google Drawing. And she did a great unit of work with her students. They did self-portraits with mm-hmm. it, using their photos and learning all the drawing tools and the lines and shapes and shading. And it's incredible. Mm. And I was very inspired by it. So at the time, I think I was teaching creative arts, and then I had teaching Year 5 on a Friday mm-hmm. and I had a bit of time, and I'm like, I want to do digital art with them and build their Chromebook skills. So I found a lesson. I just Googled it. There wasn't AI at the time. I Googled some ideas and I came across a lesson called mosaic drawing in mm-hmm. Google Drawing. It's the best. It's so
I think we're
going
to have to post onto our socials
I've got so many examples of it. So with the mosaic art lesson, the students find an image, copyright free, of something that they're interested in. So some kids just did one on a soccer ball or a basketball or Pokemon.
Well, they could even start at the very beginning and take the image themselves.
Well, definitely.
Rather than looking for stuff.
Yes, true. Yes. There's some really good videos that show them what to do, but be patient, guys, because it is viddly and then you get a lot of you have to demonstrate it and do it yourself, but I love doing things like that. So basically you use the polyline tool. So you put your image in and you click, 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 like triangular shapes and try and match the colour on the same colour as the one that you're doing. Yep. But you leave that little mosaic gap and then you're just constantly filling this image with triangles.
Yes.
So on the basketball one, it's a good example. You do the different shades of orange mm-hmm. as well. And then all the black for the lines on the ball are all shapes, mosaic shapes. And then the best part is when you reveal, I used to love taking videos last year of the kids sliding out mm-hmm. and then seeing the artwork and it looks so good. And they go, oh. And then I showed them how to use the background. We did like a gradient feature. Like, you know, you can pick a couple of colors and have a nice softer background. And then they screenshot it. And then we uploaded to like Google Classroom. I did it as an assignment in Google Classroom. Or when I was doing another lesson tying in how to use Seesaw, they uploaded it to Seesaw and wrote about their picture as well. Yep. And oh my gosh, the motivation. These kids did not stop. And then over the next few weeks, they'd send me more that they'd done. They just loved it. And if you get in, it's fiddly. And if I noticed some kids found it too hard and gave up. But what an awesome way and a fun way for them to, one, do an art lesson. A lot of maths involved, but also even that muscular, the trackpad and the clicking and the dragging, and it's such great digital skills.
Yeah, I wondered about, because any digital art I've done has been on iPad with a stylus. But with Chromebooks in particular being the tool of choice, in my experience at the moment, seems to be lots of people on them. So to have a drawing tool on there is super handy.
Oh, it's so cool. That was using shapes, polylines and curves on the line feature in Google Drawing, but also you could digitally paint and sketch using the scribble tool, which is found under the line tool. You can do some freehand drawing and sketching.
Yep.
Which is not as easy with a trackpad.
No.
But it's not as fine-tuned as some fancy software that you can use, but it's definitely good for creative doodling and outlining work and things like that. You can color block landscapes. I've done this one too. So I found a lesson online where the students had to create a landscape or a portrait, and it's similar to what our friend did, looking at a photo of yourself but doing the shapes of your face and then your neck and then the shading, and it's just so clever. And even blackout poetry, actually. So,
oh, that's a good idea.
I love blackout poetry. So, like, so you could put the image of the text or the newspaper or something, use the black squares to cover it, and then making the pictures or making the poem. So also you could do comic strips on it. There's call outs on the shapes there, thought bubbles, digital collages, which I love doing, and I've done with lots of Apple tools as well. Infographics, I must admit, I'd probably use Canva for something like that, but you definitely still could. And then interactive art, hyperlink stuff, creating a logo. I have done that before when they were doing Google Sites, and that was before we had access to, I'm going way back here, before we used Canva or even AutoDraw. You could make a logo with just a circle with your initials in it. You got good old word art in there. So
Word art.
But you can do it.
And now we're showing our page by rainbow arch words.
I figured out how to do it in Google Drawing. So, so I do that with some headings, because sometimes I get bored with the fonts in Docs, so I use that.
Next thing you know, a little paperclip's going to come onto the side of your screen.
I was looking for a gif of a paperclip for this lesson I did the other day, and they kept coming out. But also mind maps, easy thing. But I know you've used it, and I have too, as a way to do like a scientific diagram.
Not a lot. It's just in maths when you want to manipulate a shape.
Yeah.
Because you can just like have a shape and then rotate it, things like that. And then you've got all your manipulations there in a visual, or annotating some sort of diagram or photo so that you can, explain your science thinking. with annotated labels.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know why I didn't think of art.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like, I really would love to show my class how to use it because we do have Chromebooks. So that would be finding the time or linking it to the curriculum, but that's Christmas where you cards? Come in. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Not that that's good. Yeah. Communication. I'm sure you can fit that into your literacy box somewhere. But
another way I've used it is a creative project with a Makey Makey, which we covered in our second episode. But part of that process was through Google Classroom, we had an assignment and I'd set up a Google Doc that was their planning sheet for their project and they had to design their game controller. So I put a placeholder for a Google drawing in Docs. And so they click on that, they go to drawing.
I really like that.
Yes. Because, like, it's just so annoying to, like, you can, like, take a photo of a drawing in your book, but I'm like, let's go further. And they got really into it. And so they just used shapes and lines and they drew the plan. And then I got them to label it.
I like that you can put the placeholder in your Google Doc.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
And a sign in your Google Classroom.
Yeah. So that was really cool.
Google should be paying them. Google. But
we do love our Google stuff. Yes. Yeah, well, so that was another way I've done it as well. So not just for art, but that's a really cool way to use it as well.
Oh, really good.
So pros and cons. Look, gosh, the big pro, it's free and it's cloud-based. And I love that it saves everything just to your drive. And I remember teaching Year 4 a couple of years ago, one of our maths warm-ups was this target game and we didn't have an image of it. So I just quickly made one in Google Drawing. Every now and then when I open Google Drawing, it still opens. I'm like, oh, nostalgia. But yeah. But it's just included with every Google account. No downloads, no logins.
And I guess like all Google tools, collaborative.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works anywhere with the internet, really, in real time
collaboration. And if they're familiar with Docs or Slides or other tools, the learning curve for this will be low. They'll be able to jump straight
in. And some got a bit, but then they figured it out, as they always do, very quickly. What I love is because it's universal within the Google Workspace tools, it's the same concept and design language as with Slides as well, with Docs, easy for them and even teachers to figure out how to use it and learn it.
What's it like for getting your work out of there? You can download as a PDF?
Yes, you can. Yeah, it's pretty easy.
I'm imagining your artworks. Because, you know, we all hang them up from
screens. I did actually. I either downloaded them and they shared them with me on Classroom as an assignment and then either downloaded them or just screenshot them.
Yep.
And they looked so good on display.
They would. They really would.
Yeah, and that tied in when I was doing my Innovator around that time. So it was LinkedIn for that week.
Yep.
Using a tool that I hadn't used before was one of the challenges. So that was something that covered that. Yeah.
And I think the only cons, really, it's not offering you advanced tools. So if you had students that really wanted some strong digital art tools, this is a starting point, not a finishing one. So that's probably the only one.
It's amazing what you can see. If you look it up online, there's a great examples. But there's only so far you can go with it.
And I feel like we need a bit of a disclaimer on our cons because it's always the same things. Like you might need the internet, you need computers, all of those things.
And like we said, it's not mobile friendly. So it won't work on your phone, won't work on your iPad. So if you're a school that only has iPads, it obviously
is. What about Android tablets?
That's a good point because they're Google. But when I looked on the app store, because I have an iPad, it's not an app. Even I tried going through my drive on my iPad, but no, you can't access it. You can only access Slides, Sheets and Docs that way. In Google Classroom, I find a lot of those features you can't do, like read along and all that on an iPad as well.
Well, I've just Googled it and it says no. The AI overview says no. So
If you've got a lot of heavy images in it, can make it slow and clunky.
Well, maybe that's another post-it note, is that we want Google Drawers in it. So, you know, Docs has its own app.
But also because each drawing is its own file, if you've got a lot of students submitting it, it can get a bit cluttered, I guess. But if you're doing it as an assignment,
that would be fine. Manage it through Google Classroom.
So, all right. How can we link it to
curriculum?
The curriculum.
Well, I had to do a quick little check to think about digital tools because I knew that in our visual arts curriculum they existed. And I just wondered, I thought, how early do these come in? And the first explicit mention I noticed in New South Wales was in stage one, to explore ways digital tools can be used to make still or moving images. And then, you know what you could do? You could take your drawing that you made and do like a, not stop motion, but like, you know, like a flip book. And just move it a bit. Use slides and to make like a little flip book. Anyway, thinking of moving images.
But I love linking to literacy wherever I can and making draw a picture based on your writing or vice versa. I love doing things like that with drawing tools.
And then I looked at the Australian curriculum to see when when digital media might come in, and in the visual arts curriculum, it comes in from kindy.
Wow.
So right at the very
design
beginning.
Design digital solutions. Yeah.
And not to say in New South Wales that you couldn't do it in kindy, it's just they're not specific around what techniques you use. Yeah, so it's not banned by any means. Yeah, it's just they don't mention it specifically, but in the Australian curriculum they do mention digital media.
There you go.
So definitely one to come in. And then, goodness me, where wouldn't you use it? The new science curriculum. You know, it says that students will be, again, talking about New South Wales, that they're going to be using notes, diagrams, flowcharts and annotations to support their understanding and explain processes.
Yeah.
Here we are. Fantastic tool. In kindy, they're looking at digital design solutions and being able to safely use digital devices and apps for a purpose.
Love.
What a great purpose. That's more in the digital tech side of kindy because that's quite reduced from our existing syllabus. The Australian curriculum reminds us of the general capabilities, where students are asked to represent data and information. They're asked to model and interpret concepts and relationships and communicate ideas, processes and information.
Oh.
So what a wonderful tool for that. I thought a little bit about geography.
In
the current curriculum around geography, I really liked when they brought in that you had to do some mapping and you had to do some field work.
And how good is Google My Maps for that?
Yeah,
as well.
I did think, I was like, oh, there's another
that's
one
another
for the
episode.
List. Yeah, we're going to be 100 before we finish.
By me.
But you know, I thought about having a map underneath and then overlaying it with your own diagrams over the top. And adding layers of data, I thought that could be a really nice, you know, just I was working with you for, I feel like the whole school actually at the moment's all doing data in maths. And I'm seeing
it's
lots
beginning
of,
a temple.
I'm seeing lots of column graphs and lots of tally tables. And I was like, gosh, well, let's do something in Google Draw so that they're overlaying data onto a picture rather, you know, just something a little bit more.
You have to show me what that looks like.
Oh, I haven't done it yet. It's just in my mind.
As all amazing things are,
It just pops in when I'm talking. I touched on already a little bit. You would know that in mathematics, we're drawing and labelling, manipulating 2D shapes to explore things like symmetry, tessellation, transformations of shapes. So easy.
Yeah,
so easy,
isn't it?
And especially, I think we might have talked about this before, about the fine motor skills of students and how they seem to really have declined. But if you've got a learner who just can't get their block shape, I'm imagining now those coloured wooden blocks of all the shapes and everyone's tracing them. And if they're just not there and they're getting frustrated and they want to show their learning, well, throw them onto something like this. And they
must say, I've done some awesome work with that with Seesaw because they have the shapes too.
I did think about Seesaw as well, but if you're not a Seesaw school.
No, we'll talk about that definitely another time.
You know what I'm going to say before you say any of that though? Because I thought about Cartesian plane in stage 3.
I just did it with you 4 last term and man, they found it hard. I was surprised.
Is it in stage 2 now?
Yeah.
Oh, jeepers. Because that was in high school. That was in year 7. I remember when it came into stage 3.
Yeah. They found it really – I love that kind of learning. That's how I like maths like that. But they were really struggling with it. We ended up sticking to the positive quadrants because going to the negative was really tricky.
Do you want me to tell you how I used to teach it?
Yeah.
Cartesian plane. We had square tables.
Is it Cartesian or Cartesian? It's because I've heard it taught – I say Cartesian, but I've heard people say it the other way.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Call in, guys. What is it?
Oh, well, I've taught this particular concept.
Yeah.
I used to flip our square tables and make it out of masking tape on the bottom of the desk. And then we would use robots. So I've used with Ozobots and Bebots and whatever I got my hands on.
Yeah.
And then the little robot has to go from point to point.
Yes, I actually did. I don't know if you saw on my Instagram a little while ago, but I did it with Spiro. We did a Pac-Man style and we had the ghosts on the grid.
Yes,
and you had to move the Spiro to avoid the ghosts to get from point A to, and then they had to record on Seesaw their coordinates as they went and filmed it. It was very fun.
It was fun.
And then the kids were so cool because they went that next step with the Spiro and they were putting the sound effects in it. And like, droop, 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 droop. And then at the end they got a game. I was like, hey, this was so good.
All right. So, well, that was a bit of an aside if anyone's doing
don't you
that.
Love, this is what we're like.
All right.
So I guess, well, look, you can adjust. For differentiation, adjust your content difficulty present the material in a way that the students can do, or you could do some of it for them if it's a collaborative document. I jump in and show them how to use the Polyline tool. You could do screen recordings and share it with them so they knew step by step what to do. And then if it's a Google Classroom assignment, you can comment, give them a little bit of help. But yeah, I just love it because it's another visual way of learning for those students that prefer that kind of way.
And I don't know that it needs this huge amount of differentiation because it is what it is.
Well, so I guess if you haven't used it before, give it a go. Go look in your Google Drive if you've got access to your Google Workspace tools. Have a go with a drawing. Like I said, search for some ideas for art lessons and things like that. There's so many out there.
Yep.
Give them a go with your students and let us know how you go with it.
Yeah, let us know how you go when you
take it up a notch
with Google Drawing.
And follow us. We have a Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We have our website, takeitupanotch.com.au. Please email us if you've got any suggestions, questions.
Any ideas, answers to our questions
that we ask, yeah. Examples or anything you'd like us to cover in the future. Always while we're talking, we mention other things and we've got to add to the list. So please follow us and share our podcasts with your friends. We'd like to thank again the Hills Podcast and Video Studio. We've enjoyed your fancy space. All right.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.
Take it up a notch.
I feel like in that recording, we didn't hear anything though.
No, but we didn't stop talking either.
That's probably what will happen anyway.